You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect. It's kind of messy, but I guess that's what you get when you've got four kids. I wanted to take you into my car just to drive along with me for a little bit and talk about some things. As you drive in a car, it's important that you follow all the different things that are around there. As I'm driving down the road, there's lines on the road, and of course I want to stay on my side of the line, because if I go on the other side of the line, it could be dangerous. I could get hit by an oncoming car or something like that. There's various things on the road, like signs, and here's actually a stop sign right now. I'm pulling up to this stop sign, and I'm going to wait, look both ways, and then turn. And it's important that I stop at the stop sign, because if I kept going, I could have gotten hit by that car that just came the other way. There's all sorts of issues. The stop signs are there so that, you know, control the traffic so that everybody goes the way they're supposed to. And now I'm at a light, and as a matter of fact, it's just turning yellow, so I am going to wait until the light turns red, or no, it is red, until it turns green. And of course, we know that there's red, green, and yellow, and red means stop, green means go, and yellow means go faster and run through the light. Yellow doesn't actually mean go faster, it means go slower and wait for the light. But anyway, I'm going through the light now, it's green, and I'm turning, putting my turn signal on. It's kind of bumpy there, sorry about that. Man, anybody work for the borough of Lewistown, could please repair that section of road. But as you drive along the road, there's all these different bumps. There's all these different signs, and it's important that you follow them. Right now, I'm on a road that says one way. And if I choose to disobey this road and go the other way, to disobey the sign, there could be a car coming right at me and could hit me. And so, you know, maybe it's something that we do, especially if you're a driver, if you've been driving for any length of time, you obey. Here's a speed limit sign. It says 25 miles an hour. And I am now going 25 miles an hour. And it's important that you obey the speed limit, because it's set up so that you know that the road that you're on can handle how fast you're going. Obviously, if you go too fast on a road that has a slower speed limit, there might be curves, there might be other issues. And so it's important that you obey the speed limit sign that's there, because if you don't, you know, you could get into an accident. Now I'm waiting at a stop sign, and of course I'm stopping because the other traffic is not. They're still going. And if I were to keep going, I would have gotten hit, which would have caused, you know, all sorts of issues. It would have messed up my awesome van, you know, because I'm rolling and styling in my ride here. And now I'm coming up on another traffic light, which is turning yellow, so I'm slowing down. And I'm going to wait for the traffic the other way to go. And, you know, it's important that you follow these things, because we don't want to, you know, you don't want to get hurt. You don't want to mess up your stuff. You don't want to waste the, you know, your vehicle. I'm sure some of you have had accidents or whatever and have been without a vehicle, and you know how it's kind of a pain to be that way. And so I just wanted you to join me here in my van just so you can see, you know, the things we don't even realize, how important it is that we follow the signs that are around us. Because without these signs, without these markers that are set up by the government, we can have all sorts of problems. We can have all sorts of issues, not only, you know, from minor things to, oh, wow, we scratched our car, to major. I mean, obviously, a car accident could lead to death. So there's plenty more I can tell you, but, well, why don't I just come in and tell you about it?
Obviously, when you are driving, there are signs everywhere. And you might not even realize that they're everywhere. You might not even notice them. Unfortunately, that could be to your failure. And signs are everywhere on your road. And you might see signs like, well, why don't I turn this light back on? You might see signs that say road closed or detour. And obviously, if you tried to drive down a road that says road closed and ignore what the sign says, I mean, you could end up going off of a cliff. You could drive into a place where there's no bridge or run into a wall or something like that. The detour signs, you know, they're there because there's something wrong and they want to take you around the issue to get you to a safe place. And you could choose to ignore that sign and say, oh, I know my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. And you'll probably find yourself in trouble. You'll probably find yourself messing up. Mowing ahead probably means that there's mowing going on ahead of you. So if you don't want to get run into some guy pushing, I guess they don't push mowers, do they? But one of those big old tractor things. You want to be safe, so you got to watch out for that. And obviously you have the classic stop sign. You get to a stop sign, you stop. If you choose to ignore a stop sign and keep going, like I said in the video, as I was driving around, you could get hit. Then you've got a sign here that's like arrow turny thingy. So this means that turn some way. Or this means watch out, you're going to fall off a cliff. This means, I think it goes like this. So maybe that makes sense. Okay, so it means turn that away, which would be your left, right? Correct? Anyway, but that's warning you that upcoming is a turn. And if you're not paying attention, you could get hit. On the way back from the wedding yesterday at the reception, there's this road that my GPS took me on. And according to the map in the sky, it looks like a pretty significant road. And, there were like these 15. Anybody else take that road, or was I the only idiot? all right, yeah, apparently I was. There were these, it was like a 45-mile-an-hour road. And every once in a while, there was this 15-mile-per-hour speed limit because there were suddenly these sharp turns in it. Bump. That's saying that if you have an awesome sound system in your car, that you need to drive there because it's bumping. It means that there's a bump coming up. And there's a yield sign. Yield is important, too, because it means you need to let the other person go first. And, of course, something like a yield sign is so helpful because without it, you could get to an intersection like who goes which way, who's in charge, who's in control. And the yield sign kind of clarifies that and lets you go. But signs are important. We need to follow these signs. And the thing about the signs is, and I don't know if you realize this, and maybe this will change your whole opinion about things depending on where you stand with politics and life and everything like that. But when you follow a traffic sign, you are essentially submitting to the government. Now, these signs were legally obtained from Decatur Township. We will be returning them to Decatur Township afterwards. There's all sorts of accidents happening right now. No, these are unused signs. But, in essence, if you live in Decatur Township and these signs are up, you're essentially saying that you are submitting to the authority of Decatur Township, which would be like the township commander, boss, overlord. And so if you follow the signs, you're submitting to that authority and saying, you know what, I realize that these people probably know more than I do. And so that's one essence. When you follow a sign, when you stop at a traffic light, you're saying that somebody in authority knows what they're doing by putting that there. Whether you admit it or not. And sometimes you get the stop signs or lights and you're like, what in the world is this doing here? But somebody thought it was a good idea at one point. And the other thing, of course, is when you're following a sign, it's going to protect you. Not only do you realize that you're submitting to their authority, but it's going to protect you. It's going to help you through a tough situation. It's going to help you when you drive down to find out that there is no road. And that would be a good thing. Andy Stanley tells a great story about when he was a teenager. And now that we've got the students in here. But he and his friend, actually Louis Giglio and Andy Stanley, were good friends growing up together. And there was this new highway they were building in Georgia. And so he decided there were no signs. It just said road closed, do not use. And as far as they could see, it was just a straight, flat, I think 3-lane wide each direction highway with nothing there. And so as a smart young teenager as he was, he thought, what a perfect opportunity to try out how fast my car can go. And so he and Louie got on this road and started driving. And apparently it was really late at night and they were having a blast when out of nowhere, somebody else comes up and almost swerves in front of them and gets them to pull over. And it was some teenage boy, too. And they're like, what the heck is he doing out here? And they're like, oh, he must be enjoying it. Well, eventually this guy pulls him over and makes him stop. And he was kind of freaking out about it. And eventually they stop and they're like, what is up with you? Are you going to kill us now? It's in the middle of nowhere. And the guy said, actually, no, I've driven this road before illegally. And at the end, there's a spot where literally the bridge is not finished. There is no bridge. We're talking like Keanu Reeves, 50-mile-per-hour bus, and there's nothing there. And so this guy tells him, you know, pay attention to the signs, because obviously without them, you could have died. And so if you don't get that, I haven't been clear enough already. But signs are there, and signs are important. And this ties in exactly to what I want to talk about today, and that's obedience. Now, obviously, parents and kids are here, and throughout this morning, kids, your mom or dad might be giving you a little nudge, like, hear what he's saying? Hear what he's saying there? Huh? And sometimes, kids, you can give mom or dad a little nudge, because I'm going to be talking to everybody this morning. So it's okay to nudge mom and dad and say, hey, see what he's saying? You should do that. Now, the goal of this is to help grow our families and encourage them and help you, you know, in your relationships. It's not to start a big old fight. So remember last week we talked about disciplined parents. We talked about the importance of love. So we're going to throw that in today as well. But I want to just get this point across to you, is that when it comes to obedience, we are obeying the sign for the sake of respect for the authority of the government and for the sake of our own safety and well-being. And obedience, in general terms, not just when you're driving, obedience is for God's glory and our good. When we obey, it's for God's glory and our good. And that's what I want to just brand in your head today, is that obedience, it's not just about like, oh, my mom is the boss, or dad's making me do his stuff again. This is not just, it's not just about them making you do work. Ultimately, when we obey, when you obey your parents, kids, you, and we'll get to this in a second, you are essentially pleasing God. God is thrilled that you're obeying your parents. And adults, when you obey, let's say, the law, you are pleasing God. When you obey His commands to us, His rules, His standards, it's giving Him glory. He's saying, yes, that's what it's all about. And so in doing that, we are making God pleased with us. We are giving Him glory. It means that's idea is just making Him well known. We're making Him, like, you know, giving props to God. That's what this idea of God's glory is. But the second thing is that obedience is also for our good. When your parents tell you to obey, kids, typically, it's because they want to protect you from something. Because they want to help you, keep you from doing something that might hurt you, or maybe doing something that will help you grow and get better and be a better person. And so that's what it comes when kids and parents. And then for us, as we obey God as adults, as we follow Him, He has given us His instructions. He has given us His rules. And, you know, we can call them commandments. And that sounds kind of harsh and intense. But the Word of God, Scripture, is His guidelines for us. And it's so that we, by following them, we will succeed. That life will be good for us. That it will protect us from perhaps heartache, from perhaps going through a difficult situation. Perhaps causing a difficult situation in someone else's life. God's commands and God's instructions to us are for His glory, for Him to get props, but also for our good. And that's, I think, the key thing, is that a lot of times when it comes to, and I'm talking to adults, I guess, and kids now, but when it comes to His Word, we're like, I don't really want to do that. We think we know better. And in the process, we end up getting hurt and wondering, like, well, what happened? Where's God? Why doesn't God love me? And a lot of times it's our own stupid mistakes because we're like, well, I'm going to do it my way. So just get that idea that obedience is for God's glory and our good. If you have a Bible or if you have the YouVersion app, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. YouVersion.com, you can download it. You can get it to App Store or Google Play, as they call it now, for Android. And you can find this there. But in Ephesians 6 is what I'm going to be reading. And this, this is what he says. Paul is writing here. He is writing to a church, and in a couple months, or in July, we're going to kind of go over all that, and you're going to understand why this fits. But Paul is writing. He's a missionary, and he planted a bunch of churches. He's got MC3s all over Asia. And one of his churches was in a town called Ephesus. And so after he started this church, he said, okay, now I'm writing a letter, or the fancy word is an epistle. He wrote this letter and has sent it back to the church at Ephesus, and it is a letter to the Ephesians. And that's what we have here. We have a copy of this letter he wrote to the church because he wanted to help them with some things. And this is what he says in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first and greatest commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. He goes on and says, fathers. And let me just stop right there and say what I'm going to say in a minute. But this is the same word we looked at last week. The Greek word for fathers doesn't mean just dads, doesn't mean just males. It means parental figures. It means parents. It means mentors. It means guides. It's a bigger word than just fathers. Now, in that culture, if you wanted to talk about somebody with the family, you would go to the dad. Because, come on, dad, you're the source. And obviously, you know, in our culture today, that's not always the case. We've got, you know, broken families and different things like that. So moms, females, I don't want you to think, well, this doesn't apply to me. Because it does. So, going on. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And so here's what I just said a second ago. That obedience is for God's glory and our good. And it's for God's glory because he says there in verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Kids, obey your parents because this is right. And the word right here, it doesn't mean just like, well, because that'll be a neat old thing to do. It'll be kind of swell. He says right, like, because this leads to righteousness. That's what the word means. It means to what is just, to what is appropriate, to what glorifies God, to what makes things good. There's a passage in Colossians, and in your prime groups this week, you'll get to look at it. Actually, we're going to look at it a little bit later, as a matter of fact. But it says the same. It's the same kind of thing that Paul was writing to the church in Colossae. And he says that obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord, is how he says it in that book. And so this idea is that when we obey, when you obey, it's a good thing. It leads to righteousness. It makes you more like Jesus. It brings him glory. It says this pleases the Lord. So I want you to get that obedience, it's not just following mom and dad. It's not just doing what they say, okay, time to take out the trash. When you obey, you're obeying God. You're pleasing God. That's kind of awesome. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So here's a nudge moment, okay? Maybe parents nudge your kids, like, huh? When you obey me, you're pleasing God. That's incredible. And it's bringing him glory. You're glorifying him. And then the second thing, of course, as I said, is that obedience is for our good. And he goes on a little bit later and says, obey. It's the first commandment with a promise. Obey so that it may go well with you. And that you may enjoy long life on earth. And this comes from the Ten Commandments. That was one of the commandments. Honor your mother and father. And we'll talk about the difference between honor and obey in just a minute. But he says honor. Because why are you going to honor them? God says, so that it may go well with you. So that you may have long life on earth. Now, understand that this doesn't mean, okay, I obey my parents 60 times, I live to be 60. I obey my parents 62 times, I get to 62. It's nothing like that. He's not saying that literally, you know, the more you obey, the longer you're going to live. But that obedience, because, listen to this, because obeying your parents is for your good, because of that, your life will be better. Let me ask you a question. What, and maybe kids, what is something, you can answer this way. Have your parents ever said, do not play in the street? Raise your hand if your parents have ever said, do not play in the street. Okay. For those of the kids that don't have their hands, quick. Parents, tell your kids not to play in the street, please. All right. Tell your kids, you do not play in the street. Do you think your parents are doing that just because they're like, oh, I'm going to tell them another rule? What happens if you play in the street? Yeah. You get hit by a car or a truck or a motorcycle or an out-of-control deer. I don't know. But you're told to obey because it's good for you. And that's what Paul is writing here. He says, obey because it's good for you. You're going to have a long life because, you know what, if you get hit by a car or a truck, your life might not be as long. That's the reality. If we choose to disobey signs that are posted around us when we're driving, our life may not be as long. So God is saying here, and Paul is writing, that God says, obey because it's going to make your life good. It's going to give you a good life. It doesn't mean an easy life. I mean, there's a lot of things we can get into what it's not. But the general idea is that disobeying will make things kind of rough for you. Disobeying will make things kind of hard. So, obedience is for God's glory and for our good. So when we obey our parents, we're obeying God. We're pleasing Him. When we as adults are obeying God's commands, we are pleasing Him. When we obey as kids, our parents, it'll make things good for us. And when we obey as adults, it will make things good for us. And, I mean, I could tell you stories about people that chose, and I'm sure you could too, chose, you know, I know God said this, but I'm going to do it my way. And they're going through some serious problems now. I mean, we could go to the extreme. I know somebody that chose to disobey and is now dead. I know somebody else that chose to disobey and is now in prison. Life is not good for them right now. You know what I'm saying? So understand that that's why we obey, and that's why you're supposed to obey. So let me just talk real quick what this looks like, because I know it's hot, and we want to keep things moving here. But there's some things. It's interesting in this passage that when Paul writes, he says, obey your parents in the Lord, and then later he says to the parents, raise your kids in the... Let me use the right phrase here so I mess it up. In the training and instruction of the Lord. So kids are to obey in the Lord. Parents are to raise them in the instruction of the Lord. And so there's a couple quick things that I want you to understand. As kids, I want you to remember two words. Okay? The first word is respond. Can you all say respond? Kids, say respond. One, two, three. Respond. A little bit louder. One, two, three. Respond. That was really lame. Sorry, guys. I mean, I know it's hot and stuff, but I want a little bit more intensity here. So on three. One, two, three. That was a very good response. Respond means to answer back, to come back. And so when you responded to me, you did what I said. You returned it. A fancy word, or word we use all the time, is obey. Your job as kids, Paul says, is that kids, children, you are to obey your parents. You are to respond to them. When they say this, you do it. When they ask you to do something, you do it. When they tell you not to do something, you don't do it. That is your job. When you get older, sometimes your parents will step in, even as an adult, and say, you know what, you shouldn't do this. And it might be good to respond to them and to listen to what they have to say. So, kids, your job is to respond. The second thing is to respect. Say respect. One, two, three. Respect. Very good. And he says, you know, to obey your parents, he also says to honor them. And obedience, and your parents can decide when you're at this point, someday down the road. But obedience is something as a child we are supposed to do. As you get older, life kind of changes. You become adults. And perhaps obedience doesn't work the same way, and I don't want to confuse you too much. But one thing that will always last is respect, is honor. And so when you, as a child now, and as you get older, our job as an adult is to honor our parents. It doesn't mean we do everything the way they want, necessarily, but it means we honor them. And so, you know, if my dad says something to me, Sean, I don't want you to do that, I could just be like, shut up, I'm the boss, I'm an adult, like that. And then my dad would be like, you are so weird. I could just say that, I don't care what you say, Dad. That is not honoring. That is not respecting him. And so even if I disagree with what he's suggesting, I might say, Dad, I love you. I appreciate that you're offering this to me. But I'm going to do it this way. Here's why. You know, and that's how adults, that's how we honor and respect our parents. And as kids, the respect doesn't mean you tell your dad, I'm not going to take the trash out today. I appreciate your offer. That's not what I'm saying. But this idea of respect means it's beyond just doing what they say. And let me put it this way, right? Here's the situation. Let's just use the trash thing. You know, Junior, would you please take out the trash? That's what Mom says. And you can respond, yeah, I'll take out the trash. Whatever. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to like it. Took it out now. Fine, huh? You know, or you could say, okay, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you notice the difference in the attitude there? There's respect that's built into that. And it's not always easy. I mean, I understand, guys. I have kids. I'm an adult. I was a kid. We've all been there. And all your parents have the same stories, too, that they could tell you, but they don't. Because they were always perfect kids. But this idea of responding, you need to obey your parents. You need to do what they say. And you need to respect them. You need to do things with respect. And for adults, that continues throughout life. Honoring your mother and father does not end. We need to respect them and everything. So that is what kids are supposed to do. Respond, respect. Respond, respect. Respond, respect. Respond, respect. So I have a question for you real quick. In your families, in your groups right there, I want you to answer this question. What is one way that you can respond and one way that you can respect your parents? So kids, tell your parents right now, what is one way that you can respond to them, you can obey them? What is one way that you can respect them, that you can honor them? And even if you don't have kids with you, I'm sure there's things that you can do to honor your parents as well. So what is one way that you can respond and one way that you can respect your parents? All right, kids, maybe that felt kind of awkward. Maybe you're like, oh, now I have to talk about obedience. Well, now we're going to talk about your parents, okay? We're going to talk about what their job is, what their role is in your relationship. And so parents, there's some things that this passage says that you're supposed to do as well. It says, fathers, again, or we could use the word parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So there's some things that parents need to do. First of all, parents, your job as a parent is to encourage. Your job is to encourage your kids. The negative of this is do not discourage. Do not embitter. There's different ways it's translated. Do not exasperate. And the word for exasperate, for embitter, depending on what you're reading, it has this idea of like sand in your shorts. You know what I'm talking about? You know, like that, like, oh, you're at the beach, you're having a good old time, and then you're like, oh, what is that? Like, itchy, right? You know, it gets all rashy and rubbing, and it's like, ah. And that's this idea. That's what embitter means. It doesn't mean exactly sand in your shorts, but the idea is the same. That this, like, just raw rubbing and chafing and scraping and like, ugh. And that's what this means. That parents, your job is to not do that to your kids. I can tell you stories about parents that felt it was their job to say, oh, I'm the authority and I'm going to make you follow me or you're going to die trying or something like that. Let me say it this way. Maybe physically people didn't die, but I've watched children die inside. That sounds all like rainbows and fairies. But I've watched that happen where, you know, there's no connection with their parents because their parents have just drawing the sand into them and say no. And the goal of parenting, God has given us this responsibility. God says, and we said this the very first week of this series, if you've adopted kids, I want you to understand that God says you have what it takes. God has given them to you. You've got what it takes. God says you can handle this. And if you don't, it doesn't mean God says you can't handle it. But as a parent, the fact that you have a kid means that God is saying, you can do this. You've got what it takes. And he says, parents, your job is to maintain, to steward, to take care of these kids and raise them. And he says, but don't do it by embittering, by chafing, by just making things awful and awkward. Your job is to encourage them, to help them grow, to help them ultimately not just get stronger, get better SAT scores, be the best player on the team, but your job is to help them follow and love Jesus. And of course, I could go into all of what MC3 Family here is all about. Our job, we as a church are trying to help you do that. That's why you've got your ATU packs. That's why we do All Tuned Up. That's why your kids learn the same thing in Ignition as you do in here. That's why we've got the handout that you take home each week. Because your job is to help them to grow. God has given them to you. And so this idea is to encourage. He says, do not embitter your kids. Don't make them hate you. Don't make them hate Jesus because of you. And we'll talk about this in a second, about the example that we set. But I mean, how many times, and I just wonder, I don't know the answer to this, but how many times do kids see parents and say, oh yeah, we go to church, we love Jesus, and everything looks fine on Sunday, but the rest of the week, all it is this embittering and chafing and just discouraging, and people that aren't even following Jesus at home. Parents that aren't even following Jesus at home, but they say, oh, you need to do this. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So that's the first thing. Parents, your job is to encourage your kids. The second thing, he says, is to do not exasperate them. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And your job is to educate them. And this isn't just making them smarter. Your job is to bring them up, to train them, to help them be more like Jesus. So that they can be more, and there's two words here. The first word is training. And the Greek word here that this is translated from means to not just tell them, but to do it. Training is action. You guys know, I mean, football camps, I don't know if you're in summertime, you know, some people are starting with their camps for their sports that are coming up in the fall. And you do all this stupid stuff. You run through tires. Because we all have that problem. You know, you might be running down the football field and suddenly tires will show up. You need to know how to run through them. No, you don't need to know how to run through them. It's training you. It's getting your body into shape. You run, getting your body in shape for sports. You might go to the batting cages if you play baseball and you're hitting. There's a good chance that's not going to happen in a game. They're not just going to keep pitching to you for like an hour. But you're doing that because you're physically training. You are doing things. There is action involved here to make you into a better person. And so this idea of training that Paul is telling parents is your job is to train them. You know, help them. Put some action to this. Maybe live it out. And again, we'll get to that in a second. And do that. The other thing that he says is instruction. And the Greek word here means words. So, you know, maybe, you know, you live for Jesus. You look like a good example of Jesus. But do you ever talk to your kids about him? Do you ever talk to your kids about what that looks like? About what it means to follow Jesus? Do you ever talk to your kids? And obviously, if they're really young, you can't always do this. But you know, maybe there's a crisis in your family or a big decision that you need to make. I would encourage you, not that you need their approval, parents. Not that you need to get your kids' approval. But if you talk to them and say, hey, do you know why Mom and Dad did this? Do you know why we ended up going this way? Do you know why Dad... Why I decided to say this, why I decided to make this decision. You know, just letting them hear what God is doing in your life. Letting them hear what's going on. And so we are told to encourage our kids, excuse me, and educate our kids. The problem is, as parents, we tell them, and then we tell them again, and then we tell them again, and then we tell them again. And then we tell them again. And then we tell them again. We tell them again. And they still don't listen. And you're like, why do we do this? Is it worth it? It doesn't really matter. Oh, I don't get it. Why? And we tell them over and over. We try to educate them. We want to get to it. But I want you to understand that they are worth the fight. So let's have a little fun.
Come on. Do the dance.
You're doing the dance, 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 dance. See it before, don't pee your pants, 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 pants. You better go, it's your last chance, 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 chance. Before you feel the sting of my hand, 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 hand. On your butt, cause it goes on.
Yeah.
yeah, they're worth the fight.
So yeah, our kids, we tell them over and over, our job is to educate them, our job is to encourage them, and sometimes it feels like we do it over and over and over. But I want you to, I mean, that song, that was, Steph Beamer wrote that, she's got some amazing talent that way, and they're worth it. I want you to understand that as parents, that your kids are worth it. God has given them to you. He says, you've got what it takes. You can do it. So I want to talk about just a couple things here as parents. This is kids where you can start nudging your parents, okay? Some things that you can do as parents, that they can do, kids, to help you grow. And it's basically obediencosity. How did I phrase that? 101. Obediosity. There you go. That's a word now. That is the art and science of teaching someone to obey. So you can put that down in your book and save it for the future someday. So there's some things that, as parents, that we should do. The first thing, and I've said this kind of multiple times already, is exemplify it. When it comes to obeying, when it comes to following God, when it comes to doing what He has told us to do, your job as parents is to be the example, is to model it. Do they see you following God? Do they see you obeying the road signs? Do they see you doing the things that you're supposed to do? Are you the example? Are you setting that example for them? Because your kids are watching you. They are watching you. They are watching you all the time. You might not think they are, but they are. The other day I was mowing the lawn. And I went out back, was pushing my mower around, and it was early. I was trying to get it done before we had to go to Bethlehem for the wedding. And so I'm pushing it, and, you know, of course, with the mower, it's loud. You can't hear anything. And I'm, you know, going back and forth through my rows. And I turn around, and right behind me, there was something, and it made me jump. I was like, what the heck? It was a large thing. Am I about to die? And there was a skunk in our neighborhood, and I have skunk issues. I've probably heard that story before. But I was like, what in the world is it? And I realized it was Tommy. He was there, and he had somehow, he had gotten his little mower out of the garage and was going behind me in my rows. Perfect. He's 3 years old. Going back and forth in my rows. Then I turned the mower off. He's like, okay, Dad, I'm going to go get my blower now. And so he goes into the garage, and I forget, he like brought out like a horseshoe or something. He's like, you know, blowing everything off. And passing out, because that's really hard to do. I never showed him how to do all that. I don't even think he's out there watching me. He's swinging, he's having fun, and all of a sudden, he knows exactly what Dad does when he's mowing the lawn. And it makes you wonder, what else is he picking up from me? Is he picking up a guy that says, I love Jesus on Sunday, who's a pastor, but then doesn't really love Jesus every day at home? Is he picking that up? Is he seeing a guy that says, okay, you need to obey, son, you need to obey. And then I get out and I'm driving and they're like, I don't care what those signs say, I'll do my own thing. Speed limit. You know, like, is that what he's picking up? Our job as parents is to be the example. Love Jesus, obey Him in your life. Obey Him every day. Because they're seeing it, they're picking it up. And we can say a lot, but man, if they don't see us living it, those words essentially just become shallow. And what, like I said earlier, and what ends up happening is the kids say, you know what? I don't want you or your God. Because you say you love God, but you're not doing it. And so we need to be the example. We need to realize that. And so the second thing, and this is kind of a spot where maybe everybody, kids can nudge their parents and parents can nudge their kids. But the second thing is expect it. If you ask your kids to do something, expect them to obey. And this doesn't mean you have to, like, you know, keep beating them with a whip and a toothbrush until they obey. I'm not saying that. But just when you ask them to do something, expect them to obey. Because if our reaction is like, do this, you're not really going to do it anyway, so I'm just going to ignore it. Because you are shaping their obedience to God, what that grows up into is, I know God said this, but my parents didn't expect me to obey it, so God probably doesn't either. And so when you tell your kids to do something, expect them to obey. That sounds really lame, or not even lame, but just like, well, of course. But do our actions expect them to obey? Hey, do this. And then, 4 hours later, I guess you didn't do that. Okay, sorry. You know, I mean, expect that. Have some accountability for your kids because you're modeling what it means to love Jesus. The thing about this too, when it comes to expecting to obey, and I talked about this a couple weeks, I think during the I God series, but obedience doesn't mean you question it. And sometimes it makes sense to understand, but as kids, when your dad says take out the trash, when your mom says clean your room, your response should be okay, because that's a respect thing. There's an honor thing there. But it shouldn't be, well, give me a good reason. Your parents don't need to give you a good reason. They're your parents, and they told you so, and that is good enough. And I know that's like a tacky little thing we always say, well, I'm your mom, and I said so. But here's the thing, and this is where parents and kids, if our response to God is the same way, we have missed it. Because if God says to do something and our response is, well, God, give me a good reason. One, you're questioning God who knows better than you do. And two, what if you don't like God's answer? Does that mean you disobey? And it's the same thing as kids and parents. So when you tell your kids to do something, expect them to obey. Just follow through on it. I don't know what that looks like in your situation, but don't just be like, oh, well, they're just kids. Yes, they're just kids. And you're their parent. Now do something about it. Expect them. The third thing, or related to this expected thing, and this is something that I know is a reality. I joked earlier about how, you know, we were kids, and we made mistakes, and we're adults, and we still make mistakes. And sometimes we allow that to hinder telling our kids to do something. For example, say I struggled as a kid with always talking back. I would always snap back at my mom and my dad. The tendency can sometimes be, as I get to be an adult with my own kids, it's like, well, I can't expect them to do that because I didn't do that well. And actually, we were talking about this in our Prime group on Tuesday night. I think if we really think back through our lives, probably everything at some point we didn't do the right way. And so we can't allow God's standards to be shaped by our obedience to them. Does that make sense? So like when God says to do something, God says, hey, your children should be doing this, as parents, you should be acting this way, you don't come to them and say, well, I messed up, so you shouldn't have to obey either. Like, we've missed what the point of a standard is. So, exemplify it, expect it, and the third thing is to edify with it. Oh, you know what? I had verses that talk about these things, but we'll talk about them in your groups this week. The third thing is to edify with it, and in Ephesians chapter 4 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our job as parents is when we ask your kids, when you ask them to obey, is to use it to help them grow, to build them up. That's what edify means, to build up. That's why buildings are sometimes called edifices, because it is a building. It is something that has been constructed on a foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And we should be building our foundation, building on that foundation and helping our kids grow. So our job is to do that. Your job as parents is to do that. So kids, your parents aren't going to get it right all the time. They are not perfect people. They're like, you're telling me, I know. Let me just start telling you. They're going to mess up, but they love you. I will say that. Kids, if you all look at me, your parents love you. And they want to do the best for you. And sometimes you're not going to like it. Sometimes there's going to be a road sign that isn't going to make any sense. But you want to follow that, you want to obey that, because it's going to be for your benefit. So that's kind of where I just want to wrap it up, is that this is what it looks like. It's about glorifying God, and it's for our good. So the band is going to come up and lead us in just one kind of closing song here, and you can move my stuff, about this idea that, you know, God is good. And he's always going to do things the right way. And it's not always going to make the most sense to us. There might be signs that we don't quite get. But he is doing it for our good. He is caring about us. He wants us to grow to be more like Jesus. And parents, that is our job. That should be our goal. That should be our passion. So that we are raising kids to love Jesus more. Kids, your job is to respect, to respond in respect. Parents, your job is to encourage and educate. That's what God has set up for us, so that we can all grow to be more like Jesus, so we can all grow to have healthier relationships with each other and with him.